Oh,
you were like you were like league varsity?
Yes, that's very poor form.
That's
very, very, very poor.
Which is your dominant hand?
Right.
Left.
Okay, so then left-handed? Yeah, that's the issue. That. Thank really? You for catching that, Kevin. You got
is that better?
No.
You didn't seem like
we're okay, so then clearly we'll have a basketball session. Then we'll have a lacrosse session. I'll run him through some drills.
I want to learn lacrosse.
Well, how about we do this podcast
yes.
at first?
Oh, it hasn't started yet?
Yeah. Well,
I kind of thought I was thinking.
They're going to edit it. They're going to edit it. They want to edit it.
I was thinking, I was like, has it started? I was like, I don't want to keep this going.
Well, I mean.
Previously on Improv Sucks.
Eventually, we want to learn about your story, your history, what got you into comedy, that sort of stuff.
Okay. So I'm Whitney. I grew up in Oak Park. You're going to hear that a lot because Danny grew up with me, actually. We went to the same grade school, middle school, and high school.
What? I never knew this?
Yeah.
Every time.
So Danny was a year younger than me, and then your brother's a year older than
me? He's like
3 years
older than you, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, he's too old then. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, so Danny and I grew up together, and I think that what happens is kids who grow up, at least where we grew up, mm-hmm. I don't know if this is all Chicagoland suburbs, but like we go away and then we come back.
Yeah.
Like everybody that we grew up with is still here and we run into them all the time. And sometimes it's great and sometimes it's not.
Yes.
So I ran into Danny when I started doing IO training two years ago now. So yeah, we ran into each other in level four.
Yeah, that's right.
Four?
Yeah.
Craig Euler's class?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Which was, I think, my favorite.
Four.
Really?
I think four was maybe my favorite. Liz Allen is my favorite teacher.
Okay.
Craig is a tight second. But I liked Craig's class.
What are you doing?
Yeah. So you gotta get in there.
Come on.
So you went away.
So I went away. Yeah, so I went to the University of Southern California, mm-hmm. and mm. I went there for film school because it's what you do. If you get in, mm-hmm. that's where you go.
Yeah.
So I went, and I was a screenwriting major, and I mm-hmm. really was like, yeah, I'm going to make movies. And then when I got there, I was like, yeah, I don't want to make movies anymore. Mm-hmm. I want to write TV. No, I actually want to do sports media. I was an athlete. It made sense. So the first job that I had coming back to Chicago was actually working for the Big Ten Network.
Cool.
So I was in media. And then actually kind of hated it a lot. Quit, started working in arts programs for kids, then started working in, college access programs for kids. I had this whole arc of my career that was working with kids and learning how to coach for such a long time, like life coaching. Mm-hmm. And then now that's what I do. So I'm an executive coach. So I work with people who have tons and tons of money. But I still needed something creative to do. So I started taking improv classes just because I was like, this seems fun.
Right.
And lo and behold, it was really fun. And so I filled, you know, all of my time with the different classes and all that kind of stuff. And then when we got done with IO, I feel like it was like me, you, and Jonathan, and we were And John Moore.
Right.
And Steven. Oh my gosh, we all graduated at the same time.
I used to see Steven. And I saw you at open mics, like stand up. Yeah.
Wait, for real?
Yeah, I saw you a few
times.
Get the
fuck out of here!
That's right, because Steven is a stand-up. Because
I saw you at, what was it, man?
I think he's the only one.
Wicker Park off Milwaukee. It was where Beer Belly used to be on Thursday.
Oh, dude, I've
now they're at North Bar. But because that was like the last time.
Man.
They have comedy at North Bar?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Huge, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Hannibal's there all the time, I think.
He drops in.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Drop the name.
I called him.
No, so, yeah, that's funny.
What was like the spark? Why were you like, oh, let's go do improv classes?
Why did I like doing improv classes? I thought I would enjoy the classes.
A call to it, right?
I thought I would enjoy the classes. As their own training for other things. So sure. I facilitate, I do a lot of public speaking. I host a monthly storytelling event called Grown Folk Stories on the South Side.
Yeah.
And so it felt like, oh, I'll do this training and then it'll get me more comfortable with being in front of people and just talking. Mm-hmm. And it did that. But then there was just something really fun about like making shit up with people. And I think there are so many shitty experiences where you get up and then you think about all the things you did wrong when you sit down and you watch your other classmates and you're like, God damn, I wish I was as good as so-and-so or whatever. But when it clicks and you get like one good scene or one good interaction or one great initiating line that you can feel so proud of, I mean, it's like crack. It's addicting to have a great show or to have even just a great moment. So it keeps you coming back no matter how many shitty shows you have between or after that or whatever.
And you will.
And you will. Dear listener. Knowing that. Dear listener, right. You will.
Yeah, positive.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, let's shift.
Sure. I'm Danny, and I'm from Oak Park as well. And I've been in Chicago the whole time. You know, I never left. I went to school in Champaign.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You went to U of I?
Yeah, I did. And then
it was like after half that, of your graduating class.
Yeah, right. And then I went to grad school at Roosevelt. Then I've just been here, you know, bouncing around different jobs. Nothing stuck. What got where I was when I started doing comedy, I was working for a, we did automated trading. We traded currency. So I was like software support, whatever.
Yeah.
Right. Customer support?
It sucked. Okay. It was good. It paid well.
You made their jobs easier.
Yeah, but it was like, it was not a good place to be. Because it was like ex-traders from the pit. It was a toxic environment.
What do you mean from the pit?
Boy, from this, the floor. What in the old school.
Oh, like the Black Monday shit?
He knows exactly what I'm talking about. So they're trying to adapt to the times by doing the automated thing.
But what is automated? So what do you have to do?
So it's algorithmic trading. So it's like instead of, you know, guys on the floor yelling out, you know, orders, whatever, it's computerized.
Clackety clack clack.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, clackety clack clack.
Okay.
So I was software support. So all I did was talk to the client all day. And I worked, my hours were from 4 in the morning to 1 p.m. because we had a.
Oh,
right.
No.
Because, right? So one of our clients was.
Early.
Our main client was Northern Trust and they had a London branch. So I had to be there.
Oh, no.
For the So I was there by myself. I mean, it worked because I hated the boss and
To minimize the hours. The Venn diagram of your work hours got small.
Okay. And it was like, man, we almost fought. Man. It was like that, man. And he was like, you know, because he was one of those types.
I got to get into comedy.
So check this out. The job sucked. And, you know, as we all do, went through a little heartbreak at the time. So I was like, you know what? I need something, man. Yeah. I was like, life sucks right now. So I looked at, I don't know, I was just there by myself one day. I was online. I was like, let me check out Second City's. I was just going to go for sketch writing. That's what I did. But as, like, you know, I don't know, I got into that. Then we started, like, you know, like performing our sketch, you know, rehearsing our sketch, whatever. Yeah. So I was like, maybe I'll do improv, whatever. But I was more afraid to do improv than stand up. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I was like,
why?
I don't, because I felt like I didn't want to, like, the whole concept of jumping out there and you don't know.
Yeah.
I was like, at least stand up, I got it written down and then I could, you know.
I wrote it
and then I could, you know, I have a plan.
I'm still waiting to see your stand up.
You've never seen his. Oh my God.
I am so hyped.
Why did you? Well, no, you didn't go. Oh, God.
You don't do a good job promoting
yourself. No, I don't.
No, you don't let us know at all. You don't let the squad know. Let us know.
Which
bro.
Is also the hardest part, I think.
I don't believe in myself, guys. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. No, but yeah, so what was that with this?
Heartbreak,
more,
giving her a shot.
Yeah, so
you
I was
more afraid of.
Yeah, so I started sketch writing at Second City, and then I was like, I'll just do this and see where it goes. I just want to, because I thought of like my favorite like shows was Mad TV and In Living Color. I wasn't an SNL guy because to me they just did the goofiest. I just like the dumbest, pointless, silliest stuff.
Yeah.
Like I don't even like inside jokes, none of that. Just like
a lot of it stands up too when you watch it now.
It does. Because it's just the dumbest stuff. Right.
Yeah. Totally.
So then I was like, all right. And then I was like, okay, man, I got to jump into improv. But I was like, I'll do stand up first and then do, you know, jump. And so that's what I did. And that's how I just matriculated in all.
And then you ran into me and I was like, Danny.
I did.
Come hang out with us.
Now we're friends.
Steven, where are you coming?
I'm Steven Wilkes. Grew up on Stony Island, which is on the south side of Chicago. I never left the city. I'm the youngest of Fly Clap.
Fly Clap.
You know, sometimes. So
telling us
sometimes,
how you feel about us.
Sometimes I do feel like we're Fly Clap.
Freudian slip there.
That's right. Oh, it's better than when people call us Fly Cap. And then yeah, I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Do that. But what? Fly clap doesn't mean anything.
But fly clap, I got into improv through college. There was an improv group there, and we just, I was one of the main groups, and I got into it through there. And then,
where was college?
Columbia College, Chicago.
Oh, nice, yeah. Nice.
And we literally would like pack the house.
Oh, nice.
And like, it was like the first year and a half, like, people just was like, yo, this is great. Like, and like, cause I was bringing like, yo, I was bringing the black people. And I was like, yo, I'm doing this. Like, yo, yo, she come through. And it's like, people like, yo, dog, I can't really, you remembered all those lines. And I'm like, what?
No. Show.
They
like,
don't believe.
She's
yeah.
like, so how'd you plan that?
Right. It's like, no, nah, they're not lying, right. bro. It's just funny as hell.
Right.
It's
right. Like, people don't get it.
Like my That's friends good, are funny though. As hell, and it's just doing that. I learned about Second City and all these other classes, and just like was like, oh, this is a thing outside of college. Okay, go somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I just ended up just going from one group to another or just going to jams.
Yeah.
And eventually, was it 2 years ago, I met Whitney through IELTS improv classes.
Yeah.
Whitney and Jonathan. And I went up with y'all.
Were you in our very first class
yeah.
together?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, delightful.
And like, they've just been two people I really look up to. And I was just like, man, I'm tired. Because I've been in some other groups, but it was like, man, I'm kind of tired. And I'm not really, mm-hmm. I'm still not getting what I want. And like, mm-hmm. I would yeah. see people like preach, like groups like Preach, yeah. it's a great improv group, or what really re-inspired ignited my inspiration was a group called Three Pete.
Oh yeah,
because it was just different to see a group of all black people, and not just men but women, both of them, and all of them are just dogs yeah. in the game. Like, and to be like, yo, that's the shit I want to do. Like, I want to be able to write shit and do all this, and see when the deeper I got into comedy, and like, I was like, yo, this is what I love to do. So Whitney hit me up because I had stopped going to IO class. And I was like, I've done enough. I was like, I've done enough. Like, get I get point. It. Like,
yeah,
like, I've been doing this since 2013, 2012. And right. so, like, right. at that point, it's like you realize multiple things. Like, you're going to get tired of going to improv shows.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get tired because 95% of the time, it's a bad improv show if you go to it. The other 5% are memorable ones, and they're so damn funny, sometimes you just fucking forget.
Yeah.
But you remember the people who made you laugh, and you be like, I know you because you made me smile. That's how I remember people. If I can't remember your name, but I know you because you made me smile, and I will never forget that sensation. What you gave me is a gift, and that's what I want to give to other people. So Whitney was like, hey, Steven, you want to do this? And I was like, can it just be people of color? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, I'm down. And so met Danny, Clinton, John, and just
Elena.
Who?
Elena.
Oh, Elena.
Stop!
I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. Don't kill me. Don't
oh
kill
God.
Me. Don't kill me.
So we have two members of our group that have been taken away from us for long stretches of time right now, but we still have to acknowledge. I mean, unless we vote them off the island or if
nice
they quit or die. Like, okay, Elena.
Oh, God. Elena.
So Elena is doing the Harold Ramey School.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's taking up like 1.5 million hours of time. And then Jonathan's gone for training till January.
Yeah, Jonathan, he's in...
Norfolk, Virginia.
He's in North Virginia with the National Guard.
That's correct.
Elena, she also used to serve in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I first met her, and I introduced you and Elena together. I was like, yo.
I believe so.
Like, she's dope. She's really just starting out doing improv, and she has grown tremendously.
Yeah.
And watching Clinton grow, because he's a rapper.
Oh, my God. He's my favorite to do scenes with.
Clinton.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean,
he's
you know,
very
present
fun
company.
To watch.
He goes by Show You Suck and a group called Air Credits.
Yes.
He's dope.
I can't stand looking at his face, man. I just cracked up.
He just has great, such great instincts, I think.
Like, and Danny, I think has grown. Like, everybody has grown tremendously. Whitney
seems
Johnson.
Like he's always trying to mess with whoever's on stage.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm
like, ooh, he's coming up with that.
John is great,
he's sort of, like, leaning on the back wall and like, laughing.
And he's got this blank stare, but it's something goofy.
Can I tell you the thing, too, with Clinton? Whatever, it doesn't matter because I say this to him all the time. Clinton is still learning very, very basic theater stuff.
Oh,
so there are times where he will straight up turn his back to the audience. Yeah. And you have to be like, Clinton, no, you have to, open up.
Yeah.
Just they're out there.
Hey, but no,
they're out there.
Sometimes those, I definitely entered improv through like a theater background.
Okay. Yeah.
And sometimes the people that, like, I feel like I was so cautious and aware of following rules when I started out. But there are people who are like, no, I'm here to have a good time.
Yeah.
And like, that it can just be like so successful and like it doesn't matter most of the time.
No, and I feel like that was maybe my connection to it too, is I felt like, and I have a very strong, and this is not particularly healthy I think for people like me, but I have a very strong desire, like a gut instinct to get things right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there is a right or wrong out there somewhere, and if I can follow all the rules then I can find it. Mm-hmm. So if I follow all the rules then I'm going to be funny, right? No, fucking wrong. That's not the way it actually works. So I actually think that continues to be my learning edge.
Improv's probably a good tool, like, to practice against that.
Yeah.
There is no right and wrong.
Yeah. It's like I love being a part of Fly Clap because we all support each other and make our weaknesses our strengths. Mm. And like it's still the funniest fucking thing I can remember is when I was on stage and I was like a treat, and I told I told Danny, here, take this gun.
Yeah.
And he took it, and I thought he put it in his pocket, and I just said, no, don't put it in your pocket. And he was like, it's not in my pocket. I just can't do object work.
But at first, I did. I was like, let me put this gun away, but I blew it. I was like, I just went like this. I was like, that's not, I was like, you know what? I just don't have to say it. But everybody saw
it. But it's like we own our honesty. We there's no ego in our group, which is the best fucking thing. It's like I love hanging out with the squad and like just being able to spend time. Like we still, all of us have yet to have a day where we can all just hang out together. Mm-hmm. Like beside like being before a show.
We've had like multiple team dinners.
But there's always one person missing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's always true. There's always one.
There is always one person missing.
Yeah.
It's hard to get a group of pals together.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Well, and let's be fair, with a team this big, I think that does happen.
It's true. And it's incredible. You have been performing together for 2 years, right?
No.
Well, how long have you been performing it?
Yeah.
It's been over a year.
Because even that's like hard to do, especially with more people. Continuing, like that consistency is really tough.
Yeah.
It seems like y'all about all individually found like the stuff you think is really beautiful about improv, and like you seem to have very like strong bonds about those things, but. Do you guys think anything sucks?
About improv?
Yeah.
Tell us what sucks.
I won't say.
I think the promotion of it sucks. Like, try and get people to come to your shows. Sucks.
Why? Lean into it.
Well, so we are in talks to try to put our own variety show together. Finding a home for it, finding a space for it is a bit of a challenge. And there's costs associated. And then, like, really putting yourself behind it to promote... Oh, gosh, I have to talk to you guys about the Green Line thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, really putting yourself behind something and, I mean, you wear your heart on your sleeve a little bit, I think, with the promotion of it. Like, come see my show, guys. Please be my friend. And I think that there's a lot of people who would love to come see it, but there's so many things that are happening. There's shows that I would love to see that I just don't get to see because I'm traveling or because whatever. And
Whitney's a baller.
I honestly do think that promotion is the hardest.
Along with that, I think improv is underrated, actually. I think it doesn't get the respect it deserves.
It don't.
I think, like, you know, people will come out to stand-up shows, but, like, improv shows, man, it'd be like three people in the audience. You know, it's like...
It's,
and it's like, that sucks, because this is such a... I don't know, man. It's like...
do you think that's because of what Steven was saying, where like people go to one improv show and then they make up their mind about what improv is?
It's hard to say. I think there's a lack of.
Do improv are the majority of people who see improv?
Yes.
So I think that that has a lot to, like, similarly, we're, my team is talking about putting up a variety show, and we're like trying to decide what day we would want to do it on.
Right.
And the instinct is Friday, and then we're all like, oh, but all these other shows are happening Friday. Right. And I'm like, yeah, but all those shows are happening. Like, we can have a show on Friday too.
Yeah.
Because, like, at least one of those nights, somebody is going to choose this show over that other show.
Right.
But yeah, the whole thing is like, well, we want to get that team, like those people we know at our show, but we know that they have a show. And then you're like, well, they're all just performers too.
Right.
Stop.
Who am I doing
this for?
Right. Who am I doing this? Cannibalizing my audience.
Yes.
And it's harder to get just a diverse audience as well.
Yeah. Big time.
Like for me, like I teach improv over the summer, and I did it last two summers at these performance camps. Kids, black kids, Latino kids, they're like,
but they love it.
What they don't like, what is this? And it's like, it's so, especially if you get them as a teenager, oh my god, they're just so I don't think this is right. And it's like, just do it. You're
right. It's all about being self-conscious.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Let's be real. Adulthood is about being self-conscious.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. Bless their hearts. They do their best, and they're brilliant at the end of the day. But it's like, when it comes to audiences, improv wasn't pushed as much as stand-up is. Was.
Well,
yeah.
So when you look at it.
We don't see it on TV.
You don't see it on TV?
I think that's a huge problem, actually.
What is it? Whose Line is It Anyway?
That's the
only about it. I mean,
it's a good show. Not a problem.
Yeah, Wildin' Out, actually. Yeah.
Wildin' Out's not even... They don't even do
it. Yeah, but they don't
do it anymore. It's under the umbrella of
impression.
They're doing games.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
But they write their stuff.
I tend to think so, yes.
Yeah, they do.
At least for the guests. Because I know, like, Nick Cannon, I'm sure they're probably on point, but you mean to tell me all those guests, you know...
I was talking about the players, like the company.
Yeah, no,
the company. They like
no, but I'm saying like
before.
Really?
I think so.
Aww. This is like finding out that
maybe
like Santa is.
I mean, like in the early days, like with Naima Funk, that wasn't written down because that's Naima Funk. She an improv legend.
I don't think I know who that is.
She used to be on the main stage of Second City.
Okay.
But it's
a great name.
Naima is amazing. But like all those, because you had Cat Williams, like he don't need to write down nothing.
Right, other than the comedians they have on there, I just think, and maybe some of the rappers, because it's they have
tons of practice. Yeah.
Also, they're doing it on like it's like a live TV show.
Yeah, exactly.
So they have to ensure that
it's not gonna bomb.
It's gonna take a certain amount of time.
Exactly. DC Young Fly is hilarious.
Yeah, but he's a bona fide comedian though.
Yeah, he's put in the work. He's done the hours.
Last time I heard that word.
But yeah, like in general, when it comes to getting audiences, it takes a long time to build that. Like, there are some groups like that just show up to IO or Second City, like that can sell out. But they're like the 1%.
Right.
It's rare, and it's like, how do you do that? It's like, yo, you got it. And it's like, yo, hitting the right on the head is like, yo, I know we're going to be on point. I know the show's going to be on point and hitting all those cylinders. Because sometimes shows don't hit all the cylinders. Sometimes shows run a long ass time when it comes to improv, especially now, because improv is oversaturated. Mm-hmm. Like the scene is oversaturated because one, it's great that it is from a standpoint of self-expression. And people learning how to free themselves. I think that's very much needed in our society. Mm-hmm. And culturally, like, it's going to shift a lot of things. It's going to help people realize things about themselves and make life easier for others around them. So I think that's great with improv. And on the other hand, it's like, you're not in this, you're not doing this seriously, are you? Mm-hmm. It's like, those that are, it's like, it's kind of hard to find.
That both sides of that coin of, like, anybody can do this.
Yeah,
is also like people don't value it.
Right. I mean, I agree with that.
And there's not any when it comes to improv. The improv clubs will be in one area, and they're not spread out. Like it won't be someone on the west side, there won't be someone on the south side.
That's a good point.
And there's like that. Yeah. It's like that everywhere. I remember I went to Dallas. I only saw one improv spot in Texas. And I was like, is there anywhere else? Like, where else to go?
I would expect that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I just think I think improv is looked at too much as a stepping stone and not a final stop. But that goes to, like, there's not anything. It's not accommodated as a final stop. Like, there's no media. You know, it's not enough media.
You can't
or
consume it in the same
way. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, where's Netflix coming out with the improv specials?
But why not,
when,
though?
Like, every single week there's a new stand-up
why
special
not?
On Netflix.
Yeah. That conversation is interesting because it's like, would I want to watch a recorded improv set?
A good
like
one.
As is? And I have done that. But I also am like an improv nerd. So
I think the only reason I've done it is actually to research different forms. Mm-hmm. I don't think I did it just to sit and enjoy some comedy, mm-hmm. though.
I have never seen a recorded improv show personally, but I would think the risk of it not being funny. that's the risk of it being like,
yeah, but
it's like,
then you don't release that one.
I just think it depends on your style. Mm-hmm. Like let's say, like I said, I watched In Living Color growing up, like religiously, right?
Yeah.
So if I found out, oh, okay, that was improvised. Okay, well, I enjoyed it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I still love it, you know, so I don't think, I don't know.
It's hard to, I guess it's depending on the camera angle, it's hard to capture the honesty.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And you want to hear I think a big part of improv is like the audience is there with you. This is like a
that's true.
Living, breathing
the
thing.
Audience cannot be trash.
Right.
So if you're like just doing like a studio recording and you can't hear the audience, like, that would be kind of horrible.
Yeah, well,
oh, God, it would be horrible.
You have to hear the audience.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
There's a handful of examples out there where people have done shows and filmed them, mm-hmm. like the Ass Cat. There's some old school Ass Cats out there. Mm-hmm. They did a Showtime series at UCB with some people. You just gotta like, it's deep
Who
Googling.
Who has Showtime?
I'll figure it out. I'll look it up and I'll send you some links.
I remember watching.
I'm not saying they're great.
What's wrong with Showtime?
You see, like, young Amy Poehler.
No, no Showtime.
There's boxing on Showtime.
No.
Okay.
That's
That's all I know. Showtime.
I got shut down.
No.
It's Black Friday.
Okay.
That Don Cheadle show. I still gotta watch it. I heard it's good.
You know what?
See, I think Don Cheadle was on that Showtime improv set that they did at ECB.
Interesting.
That wouldn't surprise me. Don Cheadle is the god, bro.
Well, should we wrap this part up? Anything else y'all want to say?
Who listens to the show? All kinds of people?
Yeah.
Oh, millions.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, like, are these, like, little babies just starting out? Are these people like us that are just, like, indie and weird?
Yeah. Part of our goal is, like, we would love to hear if you guys have advice, things that you would want to hear if you, like, were just coming to Chicago, if you were, like, not aware of the improv community as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I think the advice I would give is the advice I also try to give myself, which is, like, trust your own instincts. Someone else might not laugh at something that you find to be funny or that you created, but I think we kind of have to keep pushing and keep being weird and keep... I find myself so many times after a show being like, why didn't I say that thing? Mm-hmm. And I never find myself kicking myself because I said something. Mm-hmm. It's always thinking like, but like, what was it that was holding you back from saying that thing or doing that initiation or taking that risk?
Mm-hmm.
And if other people don't find it funny, then maybe that's not the people. Like, you have to actually find the people that think the things that you find the things that are funny that you think are funny.
Yes.
And the example that I used, do you remember Amy Welch from Oak Park?
No.
She goes by Mo now.
Okay.
Mo Welch, and she's a stand-up.
Okay.
And when she started doing comedy here in Chicago, she did these really experimental shows called The Mo Show. And there would be times where you would go and it would not make any sense. She did. She would do like 10-minute monologues as Larry Bird. And it didn't make a lot of sense. The Potterboss sisters used to do stuff with her. Yes. Cameron Esposito. I was first introduced to Cameron Esposito through The Mo Show. So, I mean, it's a different era for sure. Mm-hmm. And Mo now does really straight stand-up comedy. She's been on all the late-night shows. Okay. And she has a book. But it was all about her figuring out what would connect with people and what the type of people she wanted to connect with. Because if she wanted to make easy jokes about... I mean, I'm sorry, but Chappelle's like in my head, like at the expense of trans folks. Like anybody can do that. Right, people have been like doing Trump that since jokes, the 80s. You know, or Trump.
The low-hanging fruit.
The low-hanging fruit, right? And so for her, she wanted to push bounds and do even more than that. And so I think I look to her as a little bit of like a guiding star for me because I'm still trying to follow that advice myself.
Yeah.
It's like, take more risks. If you think something is funny, do it.
Yeah, and what else are we doing this for?
Right. What the fuck else are we doing this for?
Right.
It's for us.
That's true.
You little improv babies.
Nobody asked
I say
you
as an improv toddler.
Nobody asked you to do this.
Nobody asked you to do it.
That's true.
We do have some
Okay.
Okay.
Improv Sucks is recorded live every Monday in the heart of Boys Town, Chicago, USA, at The Mixer. The Mixer is a hyper-inclusive improv workshop and jam. Every week, we find some of Chicago's finest performers to teach a workshop and improvise right along with you. Come on by the Playground Theater on Monday nights to join in on the fun. Many thanks to the people who helped make the show, Morgan for editing and co-hosting, Faraz for all of his help producing the show. Big props to the Nerdalogs for technical production and website hosting. This show really wouldn't be possible without them. All of their shows are supported by great people like yourself on Patreon. Seriously, if you love independent media, consider tossing them a buck a month. If everyone that listened chipped in, they'd be able to support more shows just like this one. Thanks.